Hey JD Tribe, and welcome to another episode of the Self-Care Spotlight, brought to you by The Journal Deck and our Self-Care Collective online membership. I'm your host and founder, Alyssa Cousins, and today we have Cassie Yule. Cassie is the founder and owner of Zenned Out, a jewelry company that handcrafts jewelry with meaning and provides a community that inspires a mindful and spiritual lifestyle. She grew up with an open-minded, astrology-obsessed grandmother and a father that would take her and her sister stargazing in the wee hours of the night. These experiences shaped Cassie and Zenned Out into what they are today by bringing spirituality into the forefront. She hopes to give spiritual souls a place to feel at home on the Zenned Out blog and offers spiritual tools like her new Goddess Discovery book and meaningful handcrafted jewelry to enable people to wear jewelry that aligns with their soul's purpose. And with that, welcome to the show, Cassie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
You're welcome. I am pumped to have you on the show. Like I said, you just made the connection of like who I am, which is so funny because I have like my personal persona as at Sunflower Girly on Instagram. You know, that's like the personal side. I've had that since like, I don't even know how long I've had that Instagram. Then there's the Journal Deck. And you're not the only one. Like, other people have been like, oh, wait, you're the same person.
Yeah.
I am the same person who owns your jewelry on, you know, same person. And I wear the crescent moon necklace literally all the time, guys. If you see me on an Instagram story, I am wearing her crescent moon sterling silver necklace. I literally don't take it off. I shower with it. I mean, it's kind of funny and maybe even gross, but I have to cut the hair out the back of it because I end up getting all my hair stuck in it because I have such long hair and I never take this darn thing off because it's like a part of me. And so I end up like having to give it like this thorough cleaning, and it's just like, I really should just learn to take it off, but it just feels like it's a part of me.
Keep it on. Open up all your good juju. And yes. It makes me smile every time I see you on Instagram wearing it. So.
Yes. I love it because you know what? Honestly, it's the perfect everyday necklace.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like not like, it's not like she's paying me, guys, to say this. I literally just wear her jewelry. I have her bracelets. I have the moon bracelet too, the moon phase bracelet, which I'm sure that pretty much everyone on this podcast that listens to this podcast would adore this moon phase, all of her moon phase jewelry. I would guess that is your moon phase jewelry some of your most popular jewelry?
Yes, definitely. And I think that's just because it's like so personal to me. And one of my favorite lines that we have is all the moon jewelry. So I think that really like people pick up on that.
Yeah.
So, that's why people really resonate with it because I love it so much too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, I feel like I have to start here because it just makes sense. And I want to know, and I think like other people probably want to know who you are. Or as soon as they go and look at your Instagram page, they're going to fall in love with your company and just be like, I want to know everything about her because your Instagram page is so beautiful. And, you know, your blog, you have great content. I mean, really, I mean, I'm just like over here. I know I'm throwing compliments at you, but I genuinely like really dig your business. And I know other people will too. So I want to know, like, how, you know, when did you start Zenned Out and really when did it become a full-time gig for you?
Well, it started, you know, I was an art teacher for 5 years in my past life before I ran the business. And I really just wanted a creative outlet. So I was just kind of making jewelry because I just needed something outside of work to be really creative. And people started really liking it. And they were like, where are you selling it? Where can I get it? And, you know, I just kind of went with it at that point. And once I saw kind of the power that the business could have and how much, like I said, how much people resonated with it, I was just like, you know what? I think that I can really do something with this. And I think that I can make it something really powerful and something that's bigger than just jewelry, because I can put my ideals and, you know, this idea of bringing spirituality to the forefront. It's like, I think I can do that with this business. Whereas with teaching, I felt like my hands were tied a lot of the time, which sounds weird because I know you think, you know, teaching, like, oh, you're helping kids, and I love the kids and I miss the kids, but my hands were really tied in teaching and public education. So this just felt so free and natural. And I was like, I really just feel like I can make it my own and like bring something to the world that is really important to me. So I quit my teaching job. And for a while, I had a slew of part-time jobs while I was running Zend Out. And then every time the business grew, I just dropped off another part-time job. And then about 5 years ago, I took the plunge and started running Zend Out full-time. And it was just, I mean, it's just one of those things where I just felt so in alignment that it all happened very, very seamlessly and very kind of, not quickly, but everything just like one step in front of the other, everything just worked out really well because I felt like I was just in perfect alignment with kind of what I was supposed to be doing. Mm. So,
I love that. That feels like that's such a... you know, like how you know, you did the thing where you do the part-time jobs and you're like, you're trying to make it become a full-time thing, but you're not quite ready to leave the part-time gigs. And then eventually you're like, you just have to go for it and see what happens and trust yourself and trust the universe and go for it. And it's taken on this whole other life now. And I would love to know, you know, you're a maker. And I've always looked up to people who work with their hands. And I love knowing that you're an art teacher too, because I love people who make art in like all forms. And I always say, you know, that if I could have any talent, I would want to be a painter for some reason. I would love to be at home just like painting like in my head. I'm like, oh, that would be so nice if I had that talent, but I don't. So I would really love to know, like, what's your creative process? Like, how do you get your ideas? You know, when do your ideas come to you? How do you channel them? How do you keep creativity coming to you? Like, what's your relationship like with creativity, and what is your creative process?
That is a good question, because I feel like my creative process is all over the place.
Me too.
I've just always been, you know, when I was in art school for becoming an art teacher, I was really focused on drawing and painting. But I just kind of go to whatever is calling to me. So I've gone through phases where I've really been into doing three-dimensional work with clay. Obviously the jewelry has pulled me. Now I feel like I'm really creative in this more online way of like creating a brand and like a feeling for a brand and like,
yes,
the print products of the Goddess Discovery book. So for me, my creative process, I feel like, is just being true to what I feel called to and just being like, okay, like I'm feeling really called to work with graphic design, so I'm going to just invest some time with that. I've been drawing again lately, which I haven't been drawing in a really long time. So I'm working on a new secret project and it's involved my drawing. So I've just like, that's just been like, again, like this thing where I'm like, well, I feel like this is what I'm supposed to be doing. So I'm just going to run with it and start drawing again. So I think a big part of that is just, well, the self-care comes into it. Cause for me, meditation is a big part of my self-care practice. And I feel like when I'm meditating, it's clearer to me what direction I should be taking my creativity in. And it makes it easier for me to be like, okay, yes, I feel like I need to be drawing now. I'm going to go with that. So when I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah.
No, it does.
Like, all over the place.
I really understand. At least I certainly can understand, because I feel that way too, where I'm just like, I don't know how to explain it other than saying I feel like I'm being pulled to something. And I don't know why, but something's just saying, hey, can you like come over here and like hang out with me for a little bit? Like, I think I have this idea. And it, you know, what do they say? Like the stars are pulling at you, like in you're they're pulling at your hair and like, let's go this direction. And yeah. I, you know, I think a part of that is learning how to listen to that inner voice, that inner feeling that says, I think that this is where we need to go right now with our creativity and our inspiration. And it's learning how to tune into that. And, you know, you said you like to do that and your meditation helps you to hear that voice, that guidance. So would you say, do you get like downloads then when you're like meditating? I call them like a download or like some clear cognizance that kind of comes through where it's like, go do this, like work on the goddess discovery. Like, do you like get, you know, like the book, did that just like come to you? Like, oh wait, I have to make a book now.
You know, it's funny. It is rare for me to get downloads. And I definitely understand what you mean when you say that. Cause I've definitely had that experience, but it's rare for me to get them during meditation. When I do, because I have had that happen sometimes, it's always like, whoa, okay, I really need to pay attention to this. But a lot of times I feel like when my meditation practice is regular, it's almost like I get those downloads or those just like thoughts that pop into my head all of a sudden, like throughout my day when I'm like absorbed in something else, then I'll just have this like flash of being like, oh, okay, I need to, you know, fit this thing in.
Yeah, I get that. And I've tried to pinpoint, because people have asked me like, well, how do you tune into your creativity? Like if someone wants to know how to do that, and you know, yes, meditating definitely helps, but I've wondered the question myself, because I agree with you in some instances where I have absolutely gotten downloads during meditation and been like, whoa, okay. But then I've also, when I'm not doing anything where I think I necessarily should be getting a quote unquote download, I get hit with like a bolt of lightning, like sitting on my couch when I'm not expecting it, or when I'm in my car and all of a sudden I'm like, oh wow, I need a piece of paper. Like I have a thought. And, you know, I've been trying to pinpoint, when does creativity find me? And I almost feel like it's, sometimes I don't know when it finds me. It finds me sometimes in the most random places. But maybe that's like what you're saying is, if the mind is just open and ready, it will just come.
Yeah. You know, it makes me think of, I don't know if you've read Big Magic
by
Elizabeth Gilbert. Okay, good. I figured you had.
It's like a Bible.
Yes, it's amazing. But she kind of describes creativity as this, like, I think she just describes it as like this, like, passing wind. And that's kind of how I imagine it. I imagine it just like when I get this, like, creative idea or creative download, it's like this, like, wind passing through me. And it's like I can choose to, like, grab it or let it go on to another person. So, right. And I think for me that makes sense, because you're right, there's like no rhyme or reason to it. It's like it just comes when it comes, and it's like this little like passing like little poof of like, here I am if you want to take it, or you know, I'll go on to the next person.
Absolutely, it is. It's a poof.
Yeah.
Yes, it's a bright shiny poof, and it will go to the next person if you choose to not take it or ignore it or whatever it might be. But I agree with you. There's definitely ways to help creativity and inspiration to find you and stay open, like meditating. I personally like to do yoga to keep my channel open. I like to dance. Like I've been dancing like a fool recently. I've just been loving it. But there's definitely ways, you know, going outside, like there's ways to channel creativity. Yes. But I agree with you. I think once you get the channel open and you continue to nurture that channel, it's going to stay open. And as long as you keep listening to your creativity and you don't ignore it, or you don't ignore your inspiration, it will keep coming. But I think the problem is whenever I think people get it, they get the download, so to speak, and then they ignore it because they, for whatever reason, you know, they're afraid or they're like, I'm not ready, or I'm not good enough at this. Then I think that's where the issue comes in, because I think then it kind of keeps it at bay.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it, is that, like, taking the risks of, like, you have that feeling and then taking some sort of action and knowing that, like, just because you have that inspiration of doing something creative, it doesn't mean that it's going to be, like, this amazing, incredible thing that, like, everybody's going to be like, oh my gosh. I mean, that's going to happen sometimes, but I think it's about, like, being willing and open to taking those risks when you get those intuitive, like, nudges and creative ideas. And it's just, like, the act of, like, you know, being willing to do it over and over and over again. And then it's like, then, you know, sometimes you do have one that's really resonates with other people and really resonates with yourself and maybe takes you to, like, another level or another stage in your personal life or your business.
Yes, I agree. I agree. So this is a really, okay, I have this question that I really am curious of what your answer is to this. You know, you're talking about spirituality. That's a value in your life and in your business. Me too. So in terms of spirituality, I'm a big fan of heart-centered businesses. And this is something, you know, that I've thought about because honestly, I have pretty much the same target audience that you do with your business. And there are some haters out there and there are people that may say, you know, that in the yoga space or the spiritual space or the self-help world, like that it's become riddled with people who are just trying to like prey upon people's fears or their insecurities, or they're using spirituality just like to make money. I'm sure you've heard this before or thought about this before. So like, what would you say, or what do you say to those people, and how do you personally reconcile the differences between spirituality and business and the way that you intersect them in a heart-centered way?
Ooh, that is loaded.
Go for it.
To be honest, it's not something, I wouldn't say that it's something that I deal with from other people very often, because I think that it's very clear to people when a brand is being authentic and true, and when a brand is acting or posing themselves a certain way to, you know, benefit financially from it. I think people are very in tune. And especially if you're marketing to people that are, you know, more spiritual and more in alignment with that way of life, they're going to see right through it. So I haven't experienced a lot of negative backlash of people, you know, kind of being like, oh, you're trying to take advantage of this, because I feel like I don't know, this is the life that I live. And I guess even if I have gotten any negative feedback, I'm just kind of like, well, that's what you think. That's fine. I know what's true. And I know what I'm trying to bring to the world through my business. And I feel good about that. So if anybody does have anything negative, I'm just kind of like, you know what, that's yours. You can have that. I'm just going to keep doing my thing. So that's how I've handled, which I said, I can't even think of like a particular instance when that's even come up, but I just kind of ignore it, because I'm just like, well, I know what I'm doing is like good in my heart and in my soul, so I'm going to keep doing it.
Right.
Now, as far as like the selling aspect, I will say that I struggle with that sometimes, and I'm trying to remember who I listened to. There was somebody that I listened to on a podcast, or somebody that I, like some book that I read that really, really helped me, because I have that problem sometimes where I'm like, oh, I just want to connect with people. I don't want to seem salesy. You know, it can feel icky sometimes. But what I heard from whoever, I can't even remember, it was so long ago, they were basically like, you have a gift, and if you do not try to bring your gift to the world, then you're doing a disservice. So that's what I always remind myself. I remind myself, you know, my jewelry, my products, they bring people things that make them feel more connected and make them feel more in alignment. And me not selling to people would be doing a disservice to the people that want my products. So that really helped me. And like I said, I can't remember when that switch flipped, but it helped me a lot to be like, no, I am going to sell. I'm going to be loud and proud about things that we offer because I believe that they will help people. And I believe that the people that want them, that it would be a disservice not to sell to them. Mm-hmm. So that really helped me. And I say that a lot because I work with other entrepreneurs sometimes. And that is a question that I get a lot from them is how do I sell without feeling salesy? And I'm just like, you're giving a gift. Just think of it like that. Like, I have this amazing thing and I want to give it to you because I think that it can offer you something that will add to your life. So mm-hmm. I just think of it as like me gifting people.
Right. Right. Things.
Yeah.
I love that way of thinking. I agree with that way of thinking. I ask the question not to be like, hey, here's a hard one. But because of course I've thought of it too. Like, we're in this entrepreneurial world. Like, you think about these things. It comes up. I myself, just like you, have had that thought. How do I sell without being gross? Like, I don't want people to think I am just trying to get in their wallets because that's not the reason. I mean, yes, I need to make a living. That is important to me. But I'm doing this because it comes, like you said, this is coming from someplace in my heart that I want to put this out there because I believe it's going to help people to live their best lives, to be more connected to themselves, to something higher than themselves. And I have to also remind myself of that, just like you do. Like, okay, you know, root back into why did you start this? You know, it's always about like the why, which I love looking at it from that perspective of what is your why. And I think that that's like for anyone in life, no matter what you're doing, like root back into your why, and that will always help you to get more clarity when you feel like you're questioning yourself or you've lost your way. So I agree with you. I definitely do. And I just wanted to hear your response to that because you know, this is what you do now full time. And I was like, I know she's thought of that before. I know she's been presented with that, you know, trying to be spiritual and have a business and somehow make them come together. And is that possible? And how can you do it in a graceful way? That's one of my favorite words is grace. And I'm always trying to find that balance between the two. And there's also this really amazing, again, I don't know where I heard it, just like you. I have no idea. But someone said, you know, if you have a gift that you're trying to give to the world, no matter what it is, like, you're not serving anyone. Like, you're suffering. If you are like, I can't afford to pay my bills, but I'm just going to do everything really, like, for free or low cost.
Yeah.
You're really not serving to your highest ability
at
all. And I have to also remember that.
Yeah, because that's just going to hinder you in the long run. And yeah, I've been there as well where I've had really hard those like moments where I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to raise my prices. And there's always like, it's always so painful. But then when I do, it's like every time that I've had to do that, it's always been like, no, like, first of all, nobody's ever noticed. And second of all, like, it always seems like we get busier when that happens, which always makes me feel like, oh, yeah, I forgot. Like, I'm offering something that people want. And it's like this reciprocation of energy, which I've heard that before too, from a lot of people, you know, and that helps me too, is just thinking of it instead of in terms of like, money, just being like, I'm giving this energy and people are giving me energy back. And
yes,
the more of it there is, the more expansive it becomes. Mm-hmm. So
I literally just had a conversation. We do in the SCC and like our online membership, the Self Care Collective, I do these clarity calls once a month with one woman. And the one woman this month, we were talking about, it was for the month of February, and we were talking about worth, like self-worth. And she has a lot of things that she is going through with money, like the topic of money. She feels very tied to money as her worth and how to get out of that cycle. And I was also talking about money and it's energy. It's just energy, you know? And if we can think of it that way, everything is just energy exchange. And we just happen to use money to make transactions happen on a shopping level, but it's really just we're exchanging energy. This is my thing and I'm giving it to you, and we need some type of energetic exchange. We do that through money. So yes, I agree with you. Continuing here with this, like, spirituality, you know, you know, you even talk about in your little bio that I read out loud, you talk about spiritual lifestyle. And I think that your brand, you do that really well. Like, you present what is a spiritual lifestyle really well through your branding. I'm like a total, I love good branding. I used to do branding, so I love good branding. I like eat it up. I'm sure you do too. I can tell. And okay, a spiritual lifestyle. So you seem to embody it quite well, and you inspire other people to live their own spiritual lifestyle. So I'm wondering, like, if I asked you that question, like, what does having a spiritual lifestyle, what does that actually mean to you?
Oh, I think that that's, well, I guess I can answer it for myself, because I think it's such a personal thing. And I don't think that there's a right or wrong way. I think everybody's version of that looks completely different. I know for me that my spiritual lifestyle, ritual and meditation, are keystones for that. I have to have regular connection to source. So whatever that is to you, you know, I call it the universe, source energy, God, goddess, whatever word you want to use, but that regular connection to that source energy is imperative for me. And the ways that I do that are through regular, daily meditation, and ritual. So, and what I mean by ritual is just, like, for me, I have a couple different altars, and it's just a space for me to have tools or things of meaning for me to basically, it's almost like I think of my altars as like a holding space for whatever energetic stuff I'm kind of going through. It's like this safe space for me to, like, explore. Gosh, it's really hard to put this in words. I'm having a really hard time.
You're good. Keep going.
It's really important to me. And so I work a lot with Oracle cards personally. Uh-huh. Oracle cards aren't for everybody, but for me, it's a way for me to kind of tap into my intuition and get messages of, you know, am I on the right path? It's just like another way for me to tap into that source energy that works for me.
Mm-hmm. Do your altars, you said you have multiple altars. Are there different altars? Do they have different themes to them? Like, do you have one set up for one particular goddess, or like, what are the different altars for you? I'm curious.
So right now I have two. So I have one that is for me, and the nature of it kind of changes depending on what I'm going through. So mm-hmm. sometimes it will be about like a particular goddess or a particular theme, depending on what I'm going through. Right now it's really personal, so I don't really want to share.
No, you don't have to share that.
But my other altar that I have, and I think this is, it can be such a powerful tool. I lost my grandmother and my father within 2 months of each other in, oh gosh, 2015. And I mean, obviously it just kind of wrecked me for a while. And so that altar is for them. And again, you know, so I talk about like having this like space. It's like their altar is my space to kind of like hold my grief for that. And it's something that I can touch in with on a regular basis and also honor them and remember them in a really special way. So that's the other one that I have. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of times I'll build special ones like at certain times of the year, like for Samhain, which is around the time of Halloween. I'll usually create a special altar for that time of year as well. So
I love that. Yes, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful recommendation, I think, for people who have lost people in their lives that they're close to. That's a beautiful way to like keep that spirit and that love alive. That's beautiful. I know a lot of people, they have like one altar, but that's really, I think, an interesting way to just have, you know, if you have two or three or, you know, and kind of theme them based on what's going on in your life. That's a beautiful, beautiful suggestion.
Yeah, and they don't have to be big. I think that's the mistake. Sometimes people, they get scared of like creating this altar or even like you could just call it a sacred space because they think, oh, I need to like have all these things. And I'm like, well, it can really just be like two or three items. It's really about creating an intention and creating a space for energy for something. So whatever it is that you're kind of focusing on, just having some items that remind you of that intention that you've set.
Right, right. Well, you talked about oracle cards, and yes. Obviously the journal deck is, you know, was inspired through oracle cards because I love oracle cards too, duh. And I got the idea because I was like doing using my deck, and I was also using a deck, and then I was journaling about it, about my pool, and I was like, why isn't there like a deck that's like for journal prompts out there? Like that would be really cool. Because then you could write in your journal. And then I was like, oh, the journal deck. And it just all came to me like in this big rush. And then like the name just was like, the journal deck. Okay, that's a thing. I need to do that. I'm going to do that. And so obviously I love oracle cards too. Do you have a favorite deck? I'm curious.
Yes, I do have a favorite deck. My favorite deck is the Goddess Oracle. Oh my gosh, I'm going to mess up her name.
Doreen Virtue?
No, it's not Doreen Virtue.
Okay.
Her last name is like Marinchinsky.
I don't know this.
But the reason I share it a lot. I share it a lot on our Instagram. So like a lot of times anytime you see like oracle cards and they're goddesses, it's this goddess oracle card deck.
I'm gonna Google it.
I like it. I know. I'm actually just googling it now. I'm like, I want to see.
I'll put it in our show notes whenever we find it.
Okay, it's Amy Sophia Marinchinsky.
Okay.
They're beautiful cards, but my favorite thing about the deck is that she includes a lot of the dark goddesses too. So, which I just think is incredibly important because a lot of the goddess oracle cards that you see, they're all like these light, loving fairy goddesses, which I just think isn't an accurate representation of the divine feminine. So this deck, it includes these darker goddesses, which kind of encourages you to explore your shadow side, which is incredibly important, I believe. So
do you have a favorite dark goddess right now? Or just a favorite goddess in general?
A favorite. Oh my gosh.
On the spot.
I know. I feel like Lakshmi is coming to me right now. I wouldn't consider her a dark goddess, though.
No, she's definitely not dark. But she's lovely.
Dark goddess. Yes, I feel like I'm in a very like joyous, abundant time right now, though. So she's who comes to mind right now.
I love Lakshmi. I keep a little Lakshmi figurine in my purse.
Oh, I love that.
It was a gift from a girlfriend, and it was a great gift. I mean, it was such a thoughtful thing, and I've kept it with me. It's just this teal-colored Lakshmi, and it's, like, perfect pocket size, and I just keep it in my purse, and she's for abundance, you know? So it's, like, the purse is the perfect place for it, and it just reminds me, like, that abundance is always with me. So I'm with you. I love Lakshmi as well. Love that. And I agree, like, the goddesses, they really speak to me. I use the Doreen Virtue goddess deck a lot, and that's the one that I'm always putting on I've even put it on the journal deck before, and I've like compared, you know, I like sometimes using the journal deck with other decks and like pairing one of the journal deck prompts with a goddess card or another card, because sometimes they just work so well together. And so I'm with you on the goddesses. I kind of am obsessed with the goddesses, and like teaser here, our retreat, literally, I do a retreat every year. And this year we're focusing on about 5 different goddess archetypes at the retreat this year because I love them so much.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. It's
like, well, who is your favorite goddess right now? Who's calling your name?
Right now? Now I'm on the spot. Hmm. Well, I actually pulled a card this morning. That's funny. I have my deck sitting right in front of me. But who's calling to me right now? I would say probably, oh gosh, she's the, well, I'll be honest, Mother Mary was calling to me for months. Months and months and months and months. And it was like all Mother Mary. And I was just getting bombarded with Mother Mary. She was just like coming up all the time. So that's who's been with me for quite some time. Right now, I'm kind of in this space, I think, where I don't have one particular one that's pulling to me currently. But Mother Mary was for the whole latter half of 2017. She just kept coming up for me. But right now, I don't have one that's like that's been coming up a lot or anything. So I can't say that I have one right now that's like really pressing on me. But like favorites are like I always love. I agree, Lakshmi. I love Kali. I think the energy of Kali is really fierce. She talk about that dark goddess. So I really like her. And Ane. I think Ane is really beautiful. It's Aine. And she's a Celtic goddess.
I don't know if I knew her. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I don't remember her from My Goddess Oracle. I'll have to look and see if she's in there. But now I'm curious to learn more.
She is Aine, Ane, I believe it's pronounced. She's a Celtic goddess, and she's got a really interesting story behind her. Once I like dug into her, I was really impressed with like her story is like kind of fascinating, and like the legend, behind her. And I love that her name, it means like radiant.
Oh, wow, that is
And
cool.
I personally am obsessed with the word radiant. That's like my word. That's one of my words for this year. So, anywho, side tangent. But that makes sense because you just came out with the Goddess Discovery books. So that's not really that big of a side tangent. Can you actually tell us a little bit about what this book is about?
Yes, I would love to. So, the Goddess Discovery book is eight topics. Eight different kind of spiritual topics, and it gives just a quick kind of synopsis of like what each of the topics are about. Because one of my driving forces in Zen Dao is to kind of demystify spirituality, because I feel like so many people are interested in it, but they don't really know where to start, or they've got this idea in their head of like what a spiritual person is, which is like dreadlocks, tie-dye, and patchouli. And I'm just like, you don't have to look like that to, I mean, maybe you do, and if you do, that's great, but you don't have to use oracle cards, use your intuition, light crystals. Like, you can just be like a totally normal person and be interested in these things. And I think a lot of times, like even the books and the texts and like other blog posts that are out there, they can use kind of like the secret code of language. And I just really want to make tools that make spirituality really accessible, so people aren't scared by it or put off by it. So that was really the purpose of the Goddess Discovery book, was to give people clear, accessible information about the eight topics that are in it, and then provide tools for each topic, because I think it's so important with all of this that you take action. So it's one thing to, like, okay, I learned about my intuition. Okay, so how can we put it into action? And I think that's where the true like learning takes place. I think that's also where like the art teacher in me came out, was in this book. It's like, okay, how can we like get people doing this stuff and really using it?
How can I teach?
So, yes, exactly. So,
I love that. It's accessible. It's how can I make this lifestyle, this thing that we've been talking about this entire time, this spiritual lifestyle, so to speak, how can it be more approachable and accessible to everyone, to every person out there? You don't have to know everything. And I think that I agree, like it's intimidating. Like a lot of this whole world, like the moon phases and the crystals and the oracle cards and what's an oracle card versus a tarot card and the goddesses and like all of the things. It's a lot.
And I think that really scares a lot of people away. And I think also this idea that you need to purchase or have a lot of things in order to experience this quote-unquote spiritual lifestyle. That's another thing I kind of want to demystify, and that's why, like, the book is $24.99, and, like, everything is in the book that you need to kind of, like, really get started and dig in.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
You don't need to go buy, you know, a cauldron, a bunch of crystals, a moon phase, like, calendar. It's all in there. So,
cool.
And I think that's really important to just kind of be like, here it is. It's all in one. Like, no reason to be scared. Jump in.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. I do think people start buying so many things.
Yeah.
And that's the other thing is I've even thought about that. I'm like, am I a part of this? Like, I have a deck. Like, am I a part of this? Like, and I'm sure you've had that thought. Like, you're like, well, I make products too. Like, am I just a part of this whole spiral that people go into? But, you know, it's like you have to, like, discernment is a really good word. You know, and knowing, you know, Danielle Laporte in her book, White Hot Truth, talks about discernment and knowing, like, this is, like, a really, you know, this is really calling to me, or that specific crystal's really calling to me. Like, okay, well, then you don't need 30 different, maybe you don't need 30 different crystals. Like, find the one that really speaks to you. And like you said, with the yeah. book, it, like, puts everything all in one. That's really helpful. That's the same thing I did, like, with when I made the Self-Care Collective. I was like, I feel like people are getting their information from so many different places. Like, let's just all put it in one place. Like, why are we trying to do, you know, yoga here and meditation there? I'm like, let's all get it all together, astrology, all the things. I'm in the same brainwave with you, sister. Like, I totally get it. Totally get it. Okay, well, here's, like, your last question before we go into rapid fire. This is the question I ask absolutely everyone on the show. What does self-care mean to you?
I think for me it just means being in alignment, which I already talked about a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I love that word.
Yeah, and I think it's, like, it's one of those things that you know when you're in alignment and you know when you're not. In alignment, at least I do for me. Like, I'm always like, when I get off my meditation practice, when I haven't practiced any of my rituals, when I haven't, you know, taken time to, like, be in nature or exercise, like, all of those things that I know that, like, keep me kind of at my best so that I can be in alignment, that's what self-care is to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I read something recently. I'm currently obsessed with Rebecca Campbell.
Me too.
Oh my gosh, I love her. And so I just finished Rise, Sister, Rise. And
so good.
She said something in that book that was just so mind-blowing to me. She said that being of service is simply being in flow with the universe.
Mm.
So, and I had this weird experience for a long time where I kept pulling oracle cards that from different decks too that said service, be of service. And I was just like, well, do I need to go serve at a soup kitchen? Like, I'll do that. But it was like, I couldn't make the connection. And then I read that and I was just like, oh my gosh, like, being of service is me taking care of myself. It's me being in alignment with the universe.
Yes.
That's what it is. So that was, like, really groundbreaking for me. I mean, mm-hmm. when I say it, it sounds like so duh, but it's really, I have it, like, written on a big piece of paper, like, right above my altar right now is that quote from her. So
I love that. Yes. Rise, yeah. Sister, Rise. That's a fantastic book. Well, we read it.
Yes.
My local book club, we read it. And it, like, is another one of, like, I call them my Bibles. And that's another one for me. And I'm equally currently obsessed. Are we the same person?
A lot in common going on here.
Yeah, I am equally, I look up to her so much, and yeah. I just adore that book. It is funny that you said the service thing too, because I'm literally looking at underneath of my computer right now. I have a note, and you said that you kept getting service and that kept coming up for you. You know, mm-hmm. we talked about downloads, and I got a download during a meditation, which doesn't always happen to me, but it did, and it came like lightning, and it kind of said a really similar thing. And I have that note from when I had that download. I wrote it in black Sharpie on a piece of notebook paper, and I put it on my calendar, and it's there. And it says literally, like, teach people how to get here and bring yourself forward. And so it was like this service message.
Yeah.
So
I love that.
Yeah, I totally understand. Oh, we're just like sisters from another mister.
Yes.
All right. So are you ready for some rapid fire questions?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. So since this is like, you know, this is the journal deck, when do you like to journal? In the morning, at night, afternoon, don't have a particular time?
At night.
Night owl.
Definitely. Yeah. I'm not necessarily, like, I don't stay up late, but I like to moon journal. So I just keep my journal right by my bed. And I don't do it every night. I am not a religious journaler.
Yeah.
But anytime I do, it's always kind of like at night before I go to bed.
Yeah. In terms of self-care, I could be better at?
Probably my self-talk in regards to expecting too much of myself. Yeah, I'm kind of a perfectionist and I always have an endless to-do list. So that's something I'm always kind of working on, is being really happy with where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Getting better at thanking myself for the work that I have done instead of kind of being down on myself because I didn't get A, B, and C done.
Right.
So always a work in progress.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
My favorite form of self-care movement or exercise is?
It's really boring, but I really just like going on walks.
That's not boring. I love walks.
That's like I go on walks for exercise, and then like my husband and I, that's my favorite thing that we do together, is we go on walks. We'll walk to the movie theater. We'll walk to like a store just to get like a snack. And I really love going on walks with him. I think it's really special.
I love walks too. I get a lot of clarity from walks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they help my brain. If I never had to do this again, it would be?
Oh, gosh.
It's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
Last person I think said laundry.
Laundry. Oh gosh, no, I'm thinking there are still some work things that I do that I'm like, oh, how do I get this off my plate? But I'm trying to think which one is like my least favorite right now. If I never had to plan our banners for our website again, I would be just overjoyed if somebody else could do that. It's a little thing, but it's always like one of those things that's like in the back of my mind. It's been like, it's been 3 months since you changed your banners on your website. You should probably do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's so many little things in a business. So many.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Milk chocolate or dark chocolate or not a chocolate person?
Oh, dark chocolate all the way.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Do you have a favorite crystal?
Fluorite.
Nice.
Always been drawn to fluorite.
Yeah, we have green fluorite in our JD Mala that we have we worked with Mala Bella Jewels. Do you know Hannah?
I know that brand. It sounds familiar. Yeah. So I must follow her on Instagram because it sounds familiar.
Yeah, she's like predominantly Malas, and we have green fluorite in our JD Mala that we did in combination with her. Okay, this might be a really tough one for you. Favorite piece of jewelry? Is it like a ring, a necklace, a bracelet, or earrings?
I think I'm definitely going to go with ring. It's probably my sterling silver moon phase ring, because it is, I mean, I have a lot of, obviously I have a lot of pieces that rotate, but my moon phase ring is, I mean, I think it's been an everyday wear since I created it. I've gone through different ones because sometimes I'm like, I want to wear it on this finger now. So I'll get a new one made or make myself a new one that fits the finger that I want it on. But I always have one on.
Last two questions. What do you have, and if so, what is it, your favorite moon phase? Waning moon, waxing moon, full moon, or new moon?
really enjoy waxing moons right now. I think this changes a lot, but I don't know. I think this just, like, there's so much, like, potential and, like, this, like, buildup of abundance and expansion right before the new moon that I really connect with right now.
I thought that was – I've never asked that question before, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to ask her that question because it makes sense for her because so yeah. much of your jewelry is moon phases. So that was fun. I've never asked that one before.
Yeah, it's a good one.
And last rapid fire question. I'm curious, what's your sign?
I'm an Aquarius.
Oh, are you now?
Yeah, my birthday was on Wednesday. It was on Valentine's Day.
Oh, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
So we're like in Aquarius season as we're talking.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we just had the new moon in Aquarius. So, like, mm-hmm. are you totally vibing right now?
Oh, yeah. I am. It's been a good week.
Oh, that's awesome. I hope that you had a good birthday. And it's Valentine's Day. That's so cute.
Yeah. I like it. Do you like my husband likes it as much, but I like it.
I was going to say, do you like it? But you do.
Yeah, I do.
Cool.
Because everybody remembers. So, you know, I always feel that's bad true. Because I'm not as good at remembering everybody's birthday, but everybody remembers mine.
That's true. That would be hard to forget. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we've come to the point now in the podcast where I would love for you to be able to tell everyone where can they find you, your blog, your book, and of course, all of your beautiful jewelry.
You can find everything Zenned Out at zennedout.com. So if you just go to zennedout.com, our links to our blog are on there, the Goddess Discovery book, our jewelry, you'll find everything there. And then of course, if you want to stay in the loop, join the newsletter, which you can join from the website as well. I share weekly newsletters, that have our blog posts in it. And of course, if you want to follow us on Instagram, I run the Instagram account right now. So I'm the one on there in the stories, sharing things, posting things. And that's, at Zenned Out Jewelry.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Cassie, for doing this. This was so fun to finally get a chance to sit down and actually have a conversation with you.
Yes, thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Yes, absolutely. And keep being awesome and inspirational. I totally dig what you're doing, so keep it up.
Yes, same to you. Thank you.
Alrighty. All right, guys, that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode here of the Self-Care Spotlight, brought to you by the Journal Deck and our Self-Care Collective online membership. And if this podcast moved you in some way, I kindly ask you to rate and review it on iTunes. Your love and attention means the world to me. Until next time, I am Alyssa Cousins signing off for the Journal Deck. Mwah. Music by Lee Rosevere.